Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 45. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, you made it to Chicago this weekend despite some travel woes and got to witness a near victory for the Shockers, but we came up short.
Yeah, that was a tough game. I was glad I made it through the torrential storms on Friday night. My flight was canceled here from Detroit to Chicago, so I had to hop in my car and get over there. Missed the concert that I planned to go to, but that wasn't a big deal. The Shockers game was excellent. Back and forth affair and really a couple of long touchdown drives towards the end, and that mobile quarterback just got to you guys.
He did. It was kind of disappointing. This was actually one of the best teams, Hulk Smash, as they're called. They came out with only six players, so too short, and we really kind of didn't jump all over them. We had two opportunities early. We did score, but they ended up scoring a couple times in the first half, keeping it close. And in the second half, we just couldn't stop that team. Final score, 43-38, probably one of the highest scoring games we've ever played. And we hope to get him back in the playoffs. We kind of know the guy did the Mahomes no-look pass on us once. Yeah. Well, once I knocked it down, the other time he got us. But, you know, quality opponent, good way to start out the weekend. And as you, just like me, I had a trouble getting in on Friday from my Philadelphia experience. And I made it in, did go out Friday night late, but still made the game. So it was a great weekend.
Oh, so that's why the extra touchdowns were let up in the second half.
Hey, that wasn't on my side, pal. That was my cousin Tommy's. No offense, Tommy. Sorry, buddy, but I beat you deep.
Well,
Time to get cleats, Tommy Doherty.
The better time was had at the bar afterwards. We got in early, got to see the Badgers struggle against Northwestern, really.
Oh, yeah.
The bar was packed as always. And then after that, filtered out a little bit, and we watched a little bit of the afternoon games. And up and down day for me in college football, ended up down a couple of units, I think. How did you do?
Didn't do too good. I'm getting killed lately. I'm 1-2. That doesn't even include that money line bet that we made, that I had you make. So I'm really 1-3. We really thought Northwestern was going to actually win that game, possibly. We had got a good number. And then promptly, as soon as we put in that bet, two defensive scores to get them way down. I still think they screwed that up. Maybe we should talk about that later, but they kept going for two. I was like, Mikey was playing quarterback or coach for the Wildcats. I mean, they were down three touchdowns. They got the first touchdown, just go for one, went for two, got the second touchdown, went for two again. It was baffling. Then they lost by 9 points. I don't understand the logic there, but
yeah. Maybe Coach Fitz is just trying to latch on to this analytics train. He's heard John Harbaugh in the media, and he's just following suit without actually doing the math.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he lost track of the Northwestern abacus. So, well, let's go over this episode. We have a little bit of informational updates on various states. We've kind of been traveling a little bit, just get some information that we've seen in other states and areas for sports gambling. Then we'll jump into our college segment, review our picks from last week. Not so good. SP Plus metrics, glaze over the bevy of injuries in college football that will affect you, and then week six spots that we like going forward, so that'll be exciting. Then we'll jump into the NFL, little recap of overall numbers, big injuries in the NFL and information. We'll get the metrics that we cover, and then jump into some spots, and then our circa contest tete-a-tete, which, hey, little newsflash, we're doing better than we thought.
Yeah, another plus 500 week. I think we went 3-2, which is 60% every time I count. So we're looking good.
I was told there'd be no math, actually.
Trending upwards in this contest. And now we start a second quarter, which is really going to take our focus. I think that we should focus on that second quarter. Take it one quarter at a time.
I mean, I'll win 143 grand. No problem. Let's do it.
Right.
All right, so the informational / legislative updates, you had a trip to Windsor, which is across the border in Canada from Detroit, And you stopped by Caesars. So how did that go?
Yeah, I wanted to go check it out. So I dusted off my passport and went through the tunnel last Thursday night and watched a little bit of the Eagles and Packers game. And I was really looking to see what kind of sports offerings they had. And they do have sort of a lottery game in Ontario, I found out. But they require that you parlay your picks. So for the sides, it was a minimum of 2 games that you could put in. And then they have a whole list of prop bets that you could put in as well. And for that, it was a minimum of 3 games. So not ideal, but I did notice that some of the payouts were a little bit higher than you would get on a standard parlay. I ended up putting one in, which paid 3-1 on a 2-team parlay. Unfortunately, it included the Dolphins. So that was a loser.
Yeah. The Dolphins, they are on our do not pick list anymore.
Yeah, agreed.
That's cool. Well, at the same time, I was in New Jersey and Pennsylvania most of the week last week, and I didn't make it to the books, but one thing I can report is in New Jersey, obviously near Atlantic City on the shore, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings has a firm hold down there as virtual books and also physical books. In some cases, the advertising is aplenty when you watch the games on TV down there. Huh. They are promoting their books and really more than any of the daily contests. So one of the things we talked in very early episodes was how daily fantasy and gambling kind of maybe the lines were blurred a little bit. And really what's happened is FanDuel and DraftKings were kind of testing the market for gaming, you know, for gambling. And it's working in those states. So those guys are getting a very large market share. They do have I know that FanDuel has a physical casino, but both those companies and their virtual books are really doing well in those states, and whereas the physical casinos, not quite as well. So that was interesting in New Jersey. In Pennsylvania, I was going to go to the one that said it was in Philly, but it was like a very outskirts and it was a lot further than I expected, like 45 minutes. And I said, you know what, let me just hit a sports bar. And I went to this place called Fox and Hound, which really cool spot, tons of Eagle fans in that big games Thursday. And one of the things I noticed was they had one of those basically electronic digital advertising boards that had a little bit of alcohol advertising, but most of it was sports gambling. And they were putting the lines up there, both for baseball and for football, local teams mostly. It's including, obviously, the Philadelphia game, the Green Bay-Philadelphia game. So that was kind of interesting. And I did notice when I was going, I did log on to the FanDuel, the virtual book. And unfortunately, it does not link to your fantasy account. I was hoping I could use that money and not redeposit. I cannot. But the odds were a little bit better. I mean, at least the VIG was a little lower. I was looking to take the Packers, actually, and those points. And it was really the same point spread, just a little bit less juice to take them. So I laid off because I didn't want to deposit. And, you know, in the end, it worked out okay because Philly won that game.
Yeah, good thing you didn't get that money down because the Packers gave that one away on Thursday.
They did. A lot of turnovers.
Really sounds like FanDuel and DraftKings have a stranglehold out there. And hopefully when they do get involved here in the Midwest, we can get some more offerings in terms of different numbers and different props that I know they have a larger slate out east.
They do. The other thing I forgot to mention was there were a lot of player props on FanDuel, like a ton of them, which was kind of interesting. And it was a lot more, at least from my experience with BetOnline, a lot easier to find. They were just right on the first page, like easy to find yardage props on Aaron Rodgers or whatever, plus minus, you know. So definitely a slicker product from FanDuel. And one of the things in Illinois we kind of discussed before, they're actually trying to prevent FanDuel and DraftKings from coming in by making, you know, giving a kind of like an 18-month hiatus to the local operators. You have to be a physical presence for that first 18 months to have an app. So I don't think that's going to stop FanDuel or DraftKings from getting a stranglehold, but and that's Illinois' attempt to try to help the local operators.
Yeah, at least they'll hold them off for a few months.
Exactly. Well, let's jump into college. Week 4, you know, we had a little bit of a rough week on the wrong side of some of these blowouts, actually. We start off with Duke at Virginia Tech, and thought this was a smart play too, but Duke came out and just completely destroyed Virginia Tech. I don't know if they've ever lost that badly at home before, but that was a rough start to the weekend.
Yeah, I'll say. Thankfully, I didn't watch the game, but Duke came out and just crushed them 45-10, and it was ugly in the second quarter. Virginia Tech was up 3-0 and fumbled in the red zone, set up Duke for a touchdown, and it was all downhill after that play.
Yeah, and two other blowouts on our card with Mississippi State getting 11 points. I ended up getting 10.5 in this game. At Auburn, I really thought the Bulldogs were going to play well, but this Auburn team is just rolling right now, and Bo Nix was lighting it up, and Mississippi State, I don't know if they just – something in the water, but they just got completely pummeled 56-23. Don't know what happened to that defense, but they didn't show up. And the other one was Washington State that was getting 6 points at Utah. Again, we thought, well, Washington State can score. Utah had all those injuries. Nope. 38-13 final score. Utah just crushed them. So I'm not really sure what happened for those guys.
Yeah, I know in the Mississippi State game, I read that the starting quarterback, Tommy Stevens, did try to start and play, but he was horrible, and they yanked him pretty quickly. And it sounds like he's still injured. The backup came in and played okay, but they were already in a huge hole. And that one was over quickly. Some interesting notes in that one. Auburn just crushed them in the yardage department, 578-334, and they had three turnovers. So yeah, that shows you how much of a one-sided game that was.
Auburn could be a dark horse in the SEC. I mean, they've got an offense like LSU have kind of discovered offense. In the years past, they haven't had it. So, I mean, they've had defense and usually enough to kind of stymie like an Alabama or Georgia, but you know, there's going to be some interesting games going down the stretch in the SEC. The other loser, and I'm starting with the losers here, Air Force against San Diego State. This was a bad beat. They actually was listed on bad beats last night if you watched. So San Jose State, they were getting 19 points at Air Force and really were getting beat solidly in this game. Somehow Air Force, they were up the requisite amount of points, but they decided to go for 4th-and-1 at their own 25. Late in the game, and didn't get it. They got stuffed, and so San Jose got that touchdown and covered this game. I don't understand what they were thinking with Air Force.
Yeah, I was out to dinner on Friday night and was following on my phone. I saw that Air Force had a 41-10 lead, and I thought this game was done and dusted. Come to find out, I read the recap later and saw the same thing. They went for it on 4th down with under 4 minutes left. Just excruciatingly bad loss there and a bad beat.
Yeah, so obviously they won the game, but you know they don't care about us betters. But on the positive side, your Minnesota pick came in. They're laying 1.5 at Purdue. Your Purdue Boilers are not good.
No, and even worse when your two star players go out on the same play in the first half. They lost Elijah Sindelar and Rondell Moore, and after that, I was thankful to log in and put in another big live bet on Minnesota. So it was a 2-for-1 there, and I think that they're going to be in trouble this week heading to Penn State.
Agreed. Agreed. The other one was the game you mentioned. Well, actually, no, you didn't mention. That was Northwestern. The Indiana was playing at Michigan State. This was a game that I'm glad I got in on with plus 14 for Indiana. They really could have won this game. This was a really well-played game by your Hoosiers, and Michigan State did not follow up their efforts from Northwestern in this one.
Yeah, Michigan State ended up winning 40-31, and there was a late touchdown on the last play that actually got them that margin. Still Indiana cover, and it was Michael Penix, the quarterback that we talked about last week, ended up suiting up, and he is a serious game changer for this Hoosiers team. He threw for 286 yards and 3 touchdowns against the best defense in the country. So something I took note of there, and Indiana has a pretty soft schedule after the bye this week, and I'm going to be looking to back them over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I imagine.
Yeah, thank God it wasn't like a 10-point spread because that was a bad beat. They were trying to do one of those crazy lateral plays, and that's how Michigan State got it up to 11. But, you know, it was dicey there. You know, they had a chance there at the end.
Sure did.
And then the last one we mentioned, NC State was getting 7 points at Florida State. I luckily stayed away because our guy in Hornibrook was the man again for Florida State, and they dominated NC State, and they might actually be nobody's a real contender in the ACC besides Clemson, but they might be something that might be interesting to watch.
Yeah, 31-13, they beat the Wolfpack, and Hornibrook was great, over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. So quite a different quarterback they have there in Tallahassee now.
Now, one game we didn't have on our slate that I kind of regret not betting now, I backed off my beloved Heels, but Mac Brown on the Heels went toe-to-toe with Clemson and really probably should have won the game. They went for two in the end, right? Is that what happened? They could have tied the game with an extra point at the end of the game. I think it was 22-21 or some random score, and instead went for two. I agree with the call for going for two. You're the inferior team, but I didn't like that play call at the end. They ran some sort of crazy option instead of just dropping back and passing like they were doing all over that Clemson defense, and they end up losing the game, but clearly covering the spread.
Yeah, I think the biggest question mark for this Clemson team has been their offense, which is completely opposite of you and I thought before the season started. Their defense actually has played really well this season. It's Trevor Lawrence and that offense who has been subpar. So I'm going to be looking around the next few weeks to see what these Clemson numbers look like, because they're clearly not right on that side of the ball.
Right. And, you know, let's face it, North Carolina's playing ball. I mean, they might be 2-2 or whatever they are now, but maybe 2-3 now, but they are playing good football and they're not afraid of anybody, obviously. And man, Mac Brown had some swagger when he was going to the stadium the other night, so it's kind of exciting. Just a note before we get into the metrics, there are a lot of good teams on bye this week, including Clemson. Maybe they're going to get right. Looks like Alabama's on bye this week. Mm-hmm. You've got Appalachian State's on bye. You know, some of our favorites, USC, A&M, Utah. There's a lot of teams that aren't playing this weekend, so a little bit of a lighter slate than normal. Well, let's go into the SP Plus. You still got Alabama at the top, not surprising, but Ohio State's nipping at their heels. So Alabama at 31.8, Ohio State at 31.5, and we didn't mention that one. That's on the backs of the shellacking they put on the Huskers.
Oh, yeah, just total domination. Unfortunately, I talked myself into a bet on Nebraska on Saturday, and I was thankful that it was over very early, so I was able to turn it off and switch over to a movie. So Ohio State won that game 48-7, and it was just total domination.
I don't know. Nebraska, obviously, I was on them early in the season. It doesn't look like they're going to turn it around. But one thing I'm noting is that Ohio State is better than I expected. I thought they'd have a down year with the loss of Urban Meyer, but clearly they're playing at a great level. They are clearly the best team in the Big Ten, in my view, and I don't think there's anybody that's going to take them down, but you never know. It's college kids.
Yeah, and very interesting to see that gap close against Alabama, too. I can't wait to see how that continues down the stretch.
Your squad, the Oklahoma Sooners, are the third in the slot, and you said you got a nice future on them, didn't you?
Yeah, 17-1 I got in the offseason after the Jalen Hurts transfer, and this offense has been dynamic. The number one rated offense, according to SP+, and their rushing attack has just been otherworldly. They're averaging over 8 yards per carry on this young season.
Yeah, Hurts certainly helps those numbers. He gets a lot of rushing yards. They've been getting it done, even against Texas Tech. And until they play somebody who's got a defense, which I don't know who that is in the Big 12.
maybe Iowa State? So the
playoff. Yeah, right. Maybe Iowa State, right. So rounding out the top 10, you still have Georgia up there at 26-5. They run by LSU, won by 25-7. Clemson's dropped all the way to 6 now. At 24-5, Penn State's right there, 24-5, and then Wisconsin dropped a little bit, 23-3, Auburn 21-7, and Florida 21-5, and I believe those teams play this weekend.
Yeah, it should be a good one. I think Florida might be the outsider in this top 10.
Mm-hmm. You know, these injuries, you got a big list here. I'm not sure, you know, we want to go over all of them. Which ones do you think are really relevant to some of our fans out there?
Well, you and I saw the Oklahoma running back Kennedy Brooks exit at the end of the game with a really nasty hit by the Texas Tech player. And it's unknown if he'll be back, but I don't think they're really going to need him this week versus Kansas. Mm-hmm. The others I wanted to mention were the Purdue players, Rondale Moore and Elijah Sindelar. And following those injuries, Circa Sports had a little bit of a mistake on Sunday by opening the game at Penn State at 16.5. And by Monday morning, it was 27.5. So talk about a big move. I think that Penn State is going to run away with that game on Saturday, evidence of that line move.
No question.
The other injury I wanted to mention was the Navy quarterback, Malcolm Perry, went out with a shoulder injury, and he's really the key to their rushing attack. and they play at Air Force this week in a game with a very low total. And the California quarterback, Chase Garbers, left with a shoulder injury, and at first I was looking at them versus Oregon this week, and that mm-hmm. number's gotten up a little bit too, and I think it's going to be hard to back them without their quarterback.
Absolutely. Cal's been good on defense, but they still got to score against Oregon, who's going to put points up no matter what. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what spots are you looking for week six? I think we're both on the first one, but you got the Golden Knights. They're 4-point favorites at Cincinnati. Is that your pick of the week?
Yeah, I really like Central Florida in this game. I think that this is a mismatch. Even though they are playing on the road, UCF should really be closer to a touchdown favorite in this game on the road. And I think everyone is probably looking at that Cincinnati defense, which is pretty good, 30th ranked, and they're facing against a Central Florida offense, which likes to run it up on opponents. They Central Florida averages 7 yards per play on offense, and Cincinnati gives up under 5, 4.6. But I think that there is a little bit of a mismatch there, and I think that UCF is going to have some success on offense and get the cover.
I think that after their loss at Pitt, it's going to be just a nuke of the world kind of situation for UCF. Not that they probably have no shot of making, you know, any kind of playoff or anything like that, but just to, for pride and for showing in the standings that they can beat the crap out of anybody they play now. You know, they probably let down a little bit in that Pitt game. And so look out, Bearcats.
Yeah.
And I like this one, too. Pitt is getting 4 points at Duke. Pitt is one of those teams that you like as an underdog this season, and this is a good spot for them. Duke coming off this demolition of Virginia Tech, but were they really that good, or was Virginia Tech that bad? And I'm seeing the game a little bit higher when I looked at it. So what is the current line on that?
It's down to 4 now. I know that, like you mentioned, it opened up a little bit higher than that. I think it was 6 or 6.5 at Circa.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
Clearly some money coming in on Pittsburgh here. But I, like you, still think there's value here at 4. I think this number has been a little bit inflated based on Duke's heavy performance against Virginia Tech over the weekend. And Pittsburgh actually was down, only beat Delaware 17-14. So obviously a tough scheduling spot after the big win over UCF the week before. But I think that the main handicap here is the stark difference in their strength of schedule. When you look at the Duke schedule, they did get destroyed by Alabama in week one. But after that, they've played North Carolina A&T, Middle Tennessee State, and then that win over Virginia Tech. While Pitt's faced off against a ton of tough opponents, Virginia, a good Ohio team from the MAC, Penn State, and UCF on their schedule. So I think they're going to be more seasoned, and I really like what I'm seeing out of that Pittsburgh offense. The quarterback in the passing game has been better than normal, and Duke's pass defense has not been good this year, giving up 70% completion rates and over 8 yards per pass attempt. So I think that Pittsburgh is a very live dog in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Pitt's definitely a team to back, and I do like their coach quite a bit as well. I think he'll outcoach the Duke guys. So let's see what happens. And anytime you can get a dog over field goal like that. Okay, so you like Oklahoma in the first half against Kansas. They're laying 20 points in the first half. Big number, but these Sooners have been rolling. I mean, they've been really dominating the first half and in every single game this year. So is that your angle?
Yeah, this Oklahoma team has been dominant in the first half, and specifically their rushing attack. I mentioned earlier, 8 yards per rush attempt. And with Hurts, even with Kennedy Brooks potentially on the bench, they've got Hurts, another running back, Trey Sermon, Ramondre Stevenson, which can carry the load against this Kansas defense, which will be overmatched. They have been decent against the run this year, but they are giving up over 230 yards per game on the ground, and I think that Oklahoma is going to run this up in the first half.
Okay. Can't argue with that. They're playing great football. One of the angles I like, which now is being bet down, is SMU is hosting Tulsa, and I'm jumping all over SMU. I should have done it last week. They were on my list, and I didn't have the stones to pull it. And they're a team that's been 5-0 straight up and against the spread. This is the first time they started 5-0 since the death penalty for this program. And it seems like they're just playing, you know, a different brand of football than they did a few years ago. I don't think Tulsa's any great shakes. So I actually unfortunately bet it at 13, thinking, oh, it's going to stay up around 14, and now it's down to 11.5. But what do you think about that angle on the Mustangs?
Well, I mean, you're following a trend, no doubt. SMU 5-0, as you mentioned, against the spread, which is pretty impressive. And I think this team is going to continue this role. Tulsa is not very good. I think SP Plus has this game rated at 14, so you're on the right side of that number. And, I mean, probably a tough scheduling spot for them, but I do think that they are the better team.
Right. Another one I like is a team I know you don't like that much is Texas. Texas is, at this point, I think they're laying 11 points at West Virginia. I think Texas, you know, they had their blow against LSU, which was, you know, I mean, they still played pretty good in that game. And West Virginia is just not good. I was fortunate enough to get this at 10 instead of the 11, so a little bit of value there. And I believe this is really should be more like a 13 to 14 point spread. So what do you think about my Longhorns at the Mountaineers?
Looks like great minds think alike, because I actually did jump on Texas Sunday as well. And and same exact sentiment, just the fate of West Virginia, who has been terrible this year. They're giving up over 5 yards per play on defense. And Texas has been pretty serviceable. Ellinger has been throwing the ball very well, and they're averaging 6.5 yards per play on offense. So I believe that Texas will be able to cover this number. I agree.
Nice. The last one I haven't bet yet, but I will if I see the right number, is Northwestern and Nebraska. That's right, Nebraska. I have them at 7-point favorites at home. Obviously, they got embarrassed. It was, you know, game day was there. Gabriel Union was on the set with Dwayne Wade. Everybody and their mother was, you know, I think even Warren Buffett was there. And I'm just joking. They were having everybody from Nebraska out there, and they just got, you know, de-pantsed on national television. Northwestern played the game of their lives. They probably could have won if certain things happened a different way. I just kind of see a huge letdown for Northwestern and Nebraska just saying, come on, we're better than this other team, and destroying Northwestern in this game. So I gladly laid the 7. I'm hoping, I think I saw it at 7.5. So if it's 7 now, maybe I'll grab it. Hoping it gets to 6.5, but I'm definitely going to be on the Huskers this weekend.
Definitely saw a couple of 7s that popped up this afternoon as I was putting this outline together. And I actually thought about laying this one as well. I may see where the number goes as the week goes on, but you can only play this one way. Nebraska coming off that huge shellacking of Ohio State, and you could look at it one of two ways. Either they're going to have a huge letdown after being up against Ohio State, or they're going to get focused this week and really pour it on Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, there's that angle of playing against the team after a Wisconsin week, because historically Wisconsin is so big in the trenches, and it really takes a lot out of any line that goes against them. And I think that we talked about weeks prior, Northwestern's offense is putrid, 123rd ranked in the nation, and right. Nebraska should have every advantage in this one.
All right, we'll see where it settles out for me. The last one I want to discuss, I haven't bet it or thought about it yet, but on my sheet, you know, Memphis is at University of Louisiana Monroe. It's a 14.5 point line, but maybe my numbers are wrong, but I'm seeing that this should be a much larger line. I know that they're on the road, but University of Louisiana Monroe's not very good, and Memphis has been traditionally very good, and they put up numbers. Is there an injury that I'm missing on this for this team?
You know, I saw your notes in there, and I didn't get a chance to look, but I'm pulling it up here now, and all I see is a couple of defenders who were out late in the week, a defensive back, a defensive end, and tight end, Sean Dykes. So I don't see anything that would really make this line come out as low as it is, but you're spot on. SP Plus has this as a 21-point spread. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, 24 even.
Yeah.
So, very curious to see this under 2 touchdowns, although it did tick up above those 2 touchdowns this afternoon, 14.5 now. Right. So, certainly looks like there's some value there. I may do some more digging before I play it, though.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Well, let's talk about the NFL. Jump into the NFL. We've got a little bit of a recap. There was a boring Sunday night game that hurt us in the contest with the Saints against the Cowboys. Somehow the Saints, who are 2-0 without Drew Brees, they played the Cowboys toe-to-toe, 12-10. Like I said, really boring game. And obviously the Saints won the game outright. They were getting 2.5 points at home. in general, the underdogs are still destroying the NFL right now, including there were only four home team winners this weekend. So there was a lot of road dogs that won outright. What are you seeing?
Another huge week from the dogs. Unbelievable how many road teams won this week, too. 11 right. and 3 is just a crazy number. I don't think that we'll ever see anything like that again in the next few years. A lot of pools, I think, took a turn for the worse. I know in one of my confidence pools, there were two guys who didn't even put their picks in, and they got automatically assigned all the road teams, and so now they're splitting the cash this week.
Boy, that's an interesting move.
Interesting approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it does look like that the totals are bouncing back a little bit. Unders did prevail again this week, 8-6. But I think that you're seeing a little bit downtrend in those holding calls, which is affecting these totals. And there may be some short-term value looking to go over in some of these games.
It seems like they did make a little bit of a market correction or something on those holding penalties because it was just so out of control. As you mentioned, I think Tom Brady complained about it. And I guess when Tom speaks, people listen. So there was a little bit more scoring. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe it's just going to level out. I just wonder at one point, maybe it's week 5 or 6 when, you know, the books killed it this weekend. They want this all to happen. But I wonder at some point, it usually levels out to at least like 47-48% where the favorites win. So at some point it's coming. We just don't know when. What news and notes do you have this week on, you know, for NFL injuries and such?
One that I saw come across yesterday was bad news out of Denver. Bradley Chubb has a torn ACL, and he's going to miss the remainder of the season. It's a big blow for this team, who has just been dreadful through 4 weeks, 0-4, and they have quite a few injuries on that defense.
They do, and it's a shame, but it's one of those things that the war of attrition in the NFL, and especially when you start 0-4, I mean, your Fangio's not looking so great. It's really not the defense. I mean, the offense, they started off hot against Jacksonville and then just kind of gave out down the stretch. Bradley Chubb, actually, I think he finished playing in that game. I don't think he actually left the game, maybe temporarily, but he went back in and finished it. Then they realized, oh, hey, by the way, you can't play the rest of the year.
So. Yeah, I read it was a partially torn ACL, but he's going to have surgery anyways. So
now your boy Vontaze Burfict is suspended for the whole year.
Yeah, vicious hit on Jack Doyle. And thankfully, Doyle was able to walk away from that hit. It could have been a lot different had he caught him. So just totally uncalled for and shouldn't be a part of the game. And I'd be surprised if he ever returns to the NFL.
Yeah, he's got a big history. Maybe that one shot wasn't as bad or egregious as others. But unfortunately, he's knocked out a bunch of people. And maybe he made Antonio Brown crazy. You never know.
Yeah.
We got Mitch Trubisky. I watched that game, of course, the Bears playing the Vikings, and the offense probably played better without him.
Yeah. I unfortunately had a bet on Minnesota this weekend, and as soon as he went down, I was watching with a ton of Bears fans. I said the same thing. This is only an upgrade for Chicago, and turns out it was, because Chase Daniels came in and played pretty well, completed a ton of passes, though much like Teddy Bridgewater, didn't throw it more than 10 yards down the field.
Right.
Something that defenses could key in on over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was thinking all you had to do was when they snap the ball, take a step and then jump up and knock the ball down. All he's doing is just throwing that quick out or the quick over the middle. You know, the Vikings have a really good defense, but they couldn't get to him because it was quick release. So you got Devontae Adams. He's day-to-day with his toe, which may affect Green Bay as they go to Dallas this week. Mm-hmm. Another big concussion was Josh Allen. You know, this was, dare I say, a cheap shot. I mean, Josh Allen was actually playing pretty well in the second half against the Patriots. He's kind of – looks like he's a second-half quarterback. He didn't play very well in the first half of that game, and the Patriots were up, but they really couldn't move the ball on the stout Bills defense. And then they knock out Josh Allen. Matt Barkley did his best, but I think Allen might have had a chance to bring them back in that game, and they lost close one, 16-10.
Yeah, that was a dead nut under game. And Tom Brady was pretty pedestrian too, only 150 yards passing. And if you had said that the Patriots would only score 16 points and Brady would struggle that bad, you would think that the Bills would have had a shot, and they did.
Mm-hmm. It was a punt block. They didn't even score a touchdown on offense, I don't believe, right?
Correct.
Maybe they did. They had a punt block to get there. Maybe they did have a touchdown. But, yeah, it was one of those things that was crushing. You know, without that punt block, the Bills are right there. We also had Kawan Short. That's for Carolina. You said he's out for the season, too, with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, Kawan Short, one of the better defensive ends for this Carolina team, is out for the season. And it's really too bad because they're playing extraordinarily well right now. Number one ranked defensive line, according to Football Outsiders. Mm-hmm. And we'll certainly take a hit without him in the lineup.
And then your Colts, they drop one at home this weekend, and mainly because T.Y. Hilton didn't play at all. He's got this quad injury, and then Marlon Mack left with an ankle injury, and without those two guys, they really don't have an offense.
It's really hard to believe that a single wide receiver would have so much value to a team, but the Colts are now 0-6 straight up without T.Y. Hilton in the lineup, and they just did not play very well. The defense really struggled more so than the offense, giving up 30-plus points to the Raiders. Is mm-hmm. not something that will win very many football games.
No, exactly. At home, no less. Well, let's jump into the metrics this week. A little bit of surprises. Through 4 weeks, you've got Dallas at the top. That's not that surprising. San Francisco, 1.6. So 1.8 for Dallas. 1.6 for San Francisco. New England drops down in a 1.4 right next to Buffalo, 1.2. Then you got Kansas City, no surprise there. But you got Carolina up there at 1.1, so they are playing some good football. And Minnesota, despite their efforts against the Bears, are at 0.9. Any surprises for you?
Yeah, I think that Carolina jumps out as a surprise. Interesting to see them at the top of this list. It's not something that you would have expected, certainly after the first 2 weeks with Cam Newton in the lineup. But right. That number is really buoyed by their defense, which only gives up 4.3 yards per play. Not too far behind New England at the top on that side of the ball.
And that's despite, you know, Kyle Allen, my little darling in my write-up for fantasy last week, he had 3 turnovers, 3 fumbles in that game, and they still won the game. What was it, 16-10 against Houston? So that defense is legit. On the bottom side, no surprise, Miami, -3. They're, I guess, ticking up.
Not hard to go from there.
The Jets, Cincinnati at the bottom, Arizona, Washington. No surprise with these teams, but you got Philadelphia. They're -0.8. Indy's -0.8 and New Orleans -0.8. So those are some teams that, you know, going down the stretch here, we got to look at that until Breeze comes back. They're not playing very well, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to their defense is near the bottom of the league, giving up mm-hmm. 6.3 yards per play. The offense is really kind of middle of the pack, averaging 5.5. So it's something that, you know, you and I talked before we got on here. It was kind of interesting to see Dallas unable to move the ball against them on Sunday night. I expected right. that Dallas would have a lot more success on offense, and it looks like that Kellen Moore went a little bit more vanilla than he had in weeks prior.
He didn't throw the ball down the field. I was really pissed about that, but, you know, what are you going to do? With the WEGS index, not too surprising that the Patriots are still at the top, but the gap is closed. They're at 4-0 now. 49ers, 6-5. They benefited from being on the bye and all the demolition for all these teams. The Cowboys still stay at 3, but they've dropped down at 7-3. The Rams at 8-7, which isn't a great number, and then the Chiefs at 10-7. So it doesn't surprise me the teams that are up there. But when you look at the metric itself, it just basically tells you that everybody's kind of falling back to the pack. As usual, mm-hmm. the NFL is about parity.
Are you surprised to see the 49ers there in the second slot?
Not at this point, because they played really well through 3 weeks and they got to sit out last week. It's an average cumulative rank, and a lot of it's based on yards per game and points per game. They played kind of some inferior opponents. They're going to play the Browns this week. They're obviously going to have to play, you know, the Rams and Seattle a couple of times. We'll see how they fare against better teams. But I think that the 49ers defense is actually pretty good. I mean, in my ranking, mm-hmm. they're giving up, you know, the third least yards per game, and then their points are in the top 10. So not only is their offense playing decent, you know, obviously they've scored a lot of points against Pittsburgh or whatever. Not Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yeah. Right. They crushed Cincinnati. But their defense is playing really well, which is pretty essential for the metric anyway.
Yeah, actually I'm looking at DVOA, and they're second ranked on defense here, and, mm-hmm. and also second ranked in overall team efficiency. In fact, the DVOA is not far off from your top five here, with only Baltimore in the top five instead of the Rams.
Right, exactly. Baltimore's fallen down. You know, they're probably like not middle, about the 10th in there. They're like around the 11-5 range. You know, they're starting to give up a lot of yards now.
Yeah, 29th ranked on defense. That Baltimore defense is nothing like we've seen in the past, and I think it's going to be a big problem for them going forward.
Well, they gave up over 300 yards passing and almost 200 yards rushing. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, this is just – it's crazy against Cleveland. And Cleveland, I mean, give them credit. They played really well, but we'll see. All right, well, let's go into some spots that are not related to the contest. You've got a couple of total spots here. You've got the Jets at Philly. You like the over of 43.5, and why is that?
I just reading injury reports, it looks like that Sam Darnold is trending towards playing this weekend. And right. Looking on the flip side, that Eagles secondary is in shambles. They lost another cornerback this week, and Maddox, who took the nasty hit to the head at the end of the Green Bay game, and that adds on to additional other secondary members who haven't been playing. And with Sam Darnold in the lineup, I think that they're going to have some success passing the ball. And on the flip side, Philadelphia's offense has been playing better as of late as well. And I think that if you can get that under a key number of 44, then there's some value there. I expect that it's going to tick up as the week goes on.
Okay. I guess I'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, Darnold's got to play. I think Falk is not going to get it done, even if they do stink on defense. The other thing, too, is just kind of game scripting. So if Philly can jump out, the Jets' defense actually has played decent. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only saving grace for them. If they can keep the game close, then sure, you know, with Falk in there. But if it's going to be Darnold, yeah, they got a better shot with Anderson going deep. The other game you like is the first half under with the New England at Washington. That's right now set at 23. It's unclear who's going to start that game. You know, Dwayne Haskins came in for Keenum, and he promptly threw three interceptions.
On 17 attempts.
I know. He was terrible. So a lot of smack talk towards Daniel Jones didn't come through. But Keenum also threw an interception. Terrible day for the Washington Redskins. But you're basically thinking New England's going to blank them, be like 21-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is two-part play. One is that historic New England defense, which has just been incredible through 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. They haven't given up a first-half touchdown yet. And right. Only one touchdown in total to the Bills last week of the season. And on the flip side, I'm seeing some concerns out of that New England offense. We mentioned last week they lost their go-to fullback, James Devlin, which really affects their run game. And I think that Tom Brady looks a little slow, too. I was reading reports that he may have a slight injury, and I think he's been listed on the injury report the past couple of weeks. So I realize that you're taking a chance here that New England could score 23 by themselves in the first half. But I'm taking this approach week in and week out, just betting under on these New England games. I also hit the game total as soon as it opened on Sunday, but it's dropped 2 points since open. And I think that you can still find some value here with 23 in the first half.
Okay. It's a good angle. Well, let's get into our Circa contest tete-a-tete. We mentioned already we went 3-2, which is cool. We finished the first quarter at 11.5 points. The winner of the first quarter had 17 points, right? Mm-hmm. So we're 5.5 back, not too bad. We're 435th overall. That's right about the 25th percentile. So that's actually the best we've done so far. Pretty excited about that. And really considering, you know, I was kind of beating myself up about the Dolphins pick. You know, we could have probably had a 4-1 if we'd have picked the Titans like we discussed.
Yeah.
We're doing all right. We're hanging in there. And I think that a lot of people got hurt this weekend. We did stay away from some of the big games. Not that we did it on purpose, but we ended up kind of fading some of those big picks, and that worked to our advantage this week.
Yeah. You and I talked on Saturday and put in our picks, and then I saw the top five consensus come out, and we were on the opposite side of at least two of them. And it turned out pretty well for us because I think that the consensus picks ended up going 1-4 this week. So a big downturn for the bulk of the players in this pool. And 435 and, you know, 11.5 out of 20 is 57.5%. That's pretty good. That's earning money.
That's winning. So let's jump into this week. Now, we won't pick this game, but obviously one of the – I'm kind of sad it's a Thursday night game. The Rams are going to Seattle. Right now, I see it on BetOnline that Seattle's a 2-point favorite at home. You know, it's kind of a shame. These games are usually pretty entertaining. Russell Wilson usually has some big games against this Rams defense. And, you know, the Rams, Jared Goff threw for 500 yards, but he had four big turnovers. And they lost to Tampa in this crazy shootout, 55-40. What are you looking this game? We're not going to pick it, but what do you think about that game?
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked last week at how the LA Rams offense has really been unimpressive, and that was the bulk of our handicap when we picked Tampa Bay last week, and they underimpressed again, although they did score 40 points of their own. Much of that was due to just them being down such a large number. They had to throw the ball.
Right.
The running game has been pretty much non-existent. Todd Gurley, again, 16 yards, although he did score two touchdowns. But I think that Seattle has got to be the right side here. Historically, the home team on Thursday night has been the play. And I think that it's an even stronger play when you're talking about an interdivision game. So if I had to pick this one, it would be Seattle, personally.
Okay. Yeah, me too, with the 2 points, for sure. Okay, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. It's a huge division rivalry. They've had these great slugfests in the past. It's kind of interesting. You know, Pittsburgh played well last night against Cincinnati, but Cincinnati, as you can see, is one of the worst teams in the league. Baltimore start off gangbusters, and they've gotten lit up 2 weeks in a row. They're laying 3 points at Pittsburgh. Is this a game you'd want to target?
You know, initially I had leaned to Baltimore in here, but after doing a little bit more digging and looking at how putrid that defense has been recently, I don't think that it's one that we should put near the top. Pittsburgh played okay last night. Rudolph looked a little bit better than he had in the week prior against San Francisco. I did see that James Conner picked up a little bit of a knee injury, so that's something that we should look out for. And you have also have the angle of the home divisional dog here. If they're getting 3.5 points, I think it's going to be hard to lay it with Baltimore.
These division games are always tough to figure out, and I do think Baltimore should win the game, but I mean, Pittsburgh came out with a little bit of a wrinkle. You know, they did a little wildcat last night. They tried to make it easier for Mason Rudolph, which I think worked. Cincinnati's no good, but their defense, what did they get? They had like 8 sacks last night or something?
Yeah.
So Baltimore, you know, Lamar Jackson's prone to getting sacked, and I think it's a good stay-away spot too. The next one is my beloved Bears going across the pond to London to play Oakland. They, I guess, now have ticked up to 5.5-point favorites in this neutral site game. You know, initially I was all over the Bears. I think the Bears are a better team than Oakland. I think Khalil Mack is going to have a revenge party against them. 5.5 is a big number. The main thing I'm hesitant on this is I've heard, at least in the media, that Chicago, the Bears aren't traveling till Friday to go to London, which is really dumb. Not getting acclimated, whereas the Raiders flew immediately from Detroit to get over to London and to be fully acclimated. This actually factors in. I do think it factors into a handicap. So I'm not sure your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I agree completely. Initially, I was also thinking Chicago here. But you've seen some early money come in on Oakland. They moved it from 6 down to 5 on the Oakland side. And I agree. I think the travel schedule is extremely questionable, and you really have to wonder what Nagy is thinking. There has been proven documentation, and that traveling over to London earlier in the week helps the team acclimate to the new time zone. So I agree that I don't think we could play Chicago here, but I also don't know if I want to play Oakland, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either. It's a terrible stay-away game. I also, in this game, the total is 40.5. I'd still go under. I mean, I don't see either team, Chase Daniel, you know, running the offense, and the Bears defense is playing great, so it's a low total.
Yeah, and I did see a 20.5 in the first half too, which I like. I think that this one starts slow.
The next game is a battle of, you know, Titans. The Cincinnati Bengals are hosting Arizona. You listed at 4.5. I see on BetOnline at 3.5, which is interesting after that performance last night. I can't back either of these teams, to be honest with you. I think that Cincinnati at home should be better, but they really didn't look great last night. Mixon got kind of stuffed up by that Pittsburgh defense. Arizona, it looks like Kingsbury might be a little bit too big in the NFL for them. They don't seem to have what they need to win games in this league, but any thoughts on this one?
My initial reaction is that this is way too many points for Cincinnati to be laying, but I agree with you. I'm not sure that I want to take the Arizona side either. Probably a pass.
Okay. Running out of games here. Carolina They're hosting Jacksonville here. You've listed it at 3. I see it at 3.5 on BetOnline. Hopefully it's a 3, the hook. I'm sure it won't be with the contest. But we like Jacksonville here. I mean, Jacksonville's playing great. Their defense is great. Carolina's defense is really good, too. But I'm a little concerned about the K'Wan Short injury now for Carolina. Mm-hmm. Kyle Allen did struggle mightily in the last game. And I believe the Jags, with Minshew Magic, who pulled off a great comeback against Denver again, and they finally got back to what they do best with Fournette, I think they're the right side here. I might even look at the money line personally on this one at plus 165.
Yeah, I like that play a lot. This Carolina team has inexplicably won 2 games in a row. And do you really think that they're going to be able to make it 3 in a row behind Kyle Allen? I think not. Jacksonville has looked very, very good over the last couple of weeks, and Gardner Minshew has some magic in that arm. Mm-hmm. I think that the Jacksonville defensive line is going to be able to get some pressure on Kyle Allen, too. And you saw last week, he turned the ball over 3 times by himself in the first half, and the Panthers still held on to win that game. But I think that Jacksonville is definitely a live dog here, and I would love to back them again.
All right. Well, let's chalk that one up, see what it comes out. Hopefully we get that hook, but we'll see. All right, Minnesota's going to the Giants. The mighty Giants are 2-0 behind the golden arm of Daniel Jones. And Minnesota looked terrible. By the way, Kirk Cousins stinks. They're actually laying 4.5 at the Giants. You know, Minnesota's a better team. There's no question. I'm just a little skittish. I've got to admit, a little skittish here. This number was 5.5, so people are betting the Giants. Maybe we'll get lucky and the number gets further down. And what are you thinking about this one?
It actually is 5.5 now. I think 4.5 was the open. So it looks like money's coming in on Minnesota. But yeah. I think that we can only look one way in this game, and that would be with Minnesota. I know that they looked terrible on Sunday against Chicago, but I think that provides you with a little bit more value. And the fact that the Giants also looked good on their side, I think, makes Minnesota the side here. But when you dig into the numbers, we know that Minnesota wants to run the ball. They were stubborn last week. They kept running into that defensive line. You heard Thielen come out and whine about not getting the ball. And when you look at this New York Giants defense, they are in the bottom third of defensive line yards, 4.5 adjusted line yards for that defensive line. And I expect that Minnesota is going to have a lot of success on offense through the air or on the ground. The Giants defense has been terrible this year, and I think that they should be able to cover this number. And then when you look on the other side of the ball, I expect that Zimmer's going to have a little tricks for Daniel Jones. And it's going to be a totally different day for him this weekend.
Right. He's going to have to throw into tighter windows. They'll play a lot of zone, which is what they do, rush 4 and see if he can actually make play instead of making it easy for him. I don't know what Washington was doing out there, but okay. The next game is New England at Washington. You know, I'm all over New England here. It says 16. I'm not saying it can go as high as it wants to go. I know that they're definitely probably a public play here, but they're 15 points on BetOnline. Obviously, if Haskins starts, that's a gimme.
Yeah.
But Washington is just proving to be a really bad team. That game against Philadelphia was probably their best shot on the year. And maybe I'm wrong here. They are going home. And, you know, New England may be a little beat up after that Buffalo game. But something tells me it doesn't matter when it comes to Belichick and this team.
It appears that Coach Gruden is trying to get fired. the way that this team is being run right now, putting in Haskins in the first half of that game was just made no sense whatsoever. I was actually reading that Colt McCoy might start this weekend against New England. So that'll be interesting to monitor. But if it's Haskins, can you imagine what Belichick is going to do to Dwayne Haskins on Sunday?
Oh, boy.
I would love to see that just because of my league leader interceptions bet, you know. Haskins came in and threw 3, and he's halfway to the lead through a half of a game so far.
What was your bet on that? What was the plus money?
I've got Haskins at 16-1 to lead the league in interceptions.
All right. The lead rookies or the league?
The league altogether.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, he can get there. All right. Well, the next game is Philadelphia against the Jets. There is a line now. It's Philadelphia 13.5 now. From what I can see, they're at home against the Jets. Darnold may play. It's hard to say on this one. It's a tough one. I mean, I don't want to have to monitor this one by, you know, Sunday. Philadelphia is tough to back. The Jets aren't good with Falk. You know, I was happy to take the Patriots and big points against the Jets, but I'm not sure about this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be really difficult depending on what the news looks like with Sam Darnold. I think if Sam Darnold plays, this number is way too big.
Mm-hmm.
14 points with that Eagles secondary is not a number that I would be looking to lay. But on the flip side, if it is Falk at quarterback, I think that the Eagles could easily cover two touchdowns. So probably not a risk that we should take with our $1 million contest bet.
Exactly. The next one is Houston against Atlanta. Houston is hosting Atlanta. Man, Atlanta's been an enigma. They've been terrible this year. But Houston's not been that great either. 5 points seems like a lot of points, even though Atlanta's bad outside the dome, even though we're terrible last week. It's just tough. Deshaun Watson is just getting pummeled. And Atlanta doesn't really have the pass rushers that other teams have against them. But I don't know. I'm hoping Houston turns it around in general. But this may not be the spot with 5 points.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like bettors are following that trend. Atlanta now 0-12 in their last 12 games against AFC opponents.
Jesus.
And the number has ticked up a little bit from the open. It's 5 now across the board for the Houston Texans. And one thing that I think is extremely important when handicapping this game is looking at the matchup between Houston's offensive line and the Atlanta defensive line. Right. As we know that Houston front has a hard time keeping Deshaun Watson upright, and I'm looking now at the Atlanta defensive line adjusted sack percentage. They are 26th ranked with only 5 sacks this season, so could be a look towards Houston here. I think that this might be a get right spot for them, but also a little bit bigger of a number than I like to lay with Houston on the home turf. They are not good as a home favorite.
Agreed. It's a tough one. I mean, I think Texans, they still got a shot, you know, to do something, but they got to really shore up that offensive line. It's just terrible. Okay, this is one we like, but there's no line. Tennessee is hosting Buffalo. Josh Allen's key to this handicap. Love this Bills defense, as we talked all season about it. Titans defense is no slouch either, though. And, I mean, this could be what is the total in this game? It's got to be record.
Not high enough. not low enough.
Yeah, I don't see it even on my board, but it's probably going to be in the, you know, mid-30s or something. So we like Buffalo as a side, mainly because the defense thinking they're going to get points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
but we just don't know about Josh Allen.
Presumably, if Buffalo is catching points here, I think that this is something we have to look at, even with Matt Barkley in the lineup. I don't really have the downgrade being that many points from Josh Allen to Matt Barkley. And really, the handicap with this Buffalo team has been the defense all season long. They are ultimately good, and I would love to see them getting points against Tennessee. Tennessee showed up well last week against Atlanta, but historically this is a team who's kind of hot and cold. They're back and forth every week. They lost to Jacksonville the week before, so I think we should look at Buffalo here either way.
Okay. We'll see how many points they get. They've got to make a line, which is in our favor. They're probably going to make a line before they know about Josh Allen, so it may work out for us.
I imagine it'll probably end up being Tennessee -3. Just, you know, pick them on a neutral field, give them the home field advantage, and call it a day.
Right. Okay, the Chargers, they are hosting Denver. They're 6.5-point favorites at home. You've written you hate backing Phillip Rivers in a home favorite role.
Yeah.
But this Denver team is not good, and they lost Bradley Chubb. So which side do you sit? I like the Chargers here. I don't think they're the Super Bowl contender that we wanted them to be, but they're a class above Denver in my view.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also lean to the Chargers here, but I just can't get over last season. I had a huge bet on the Chargers at home in this exact same spot, laying 7 points, and they gave up a late touchdown to Denver and ended up winning the game. It was 23-22. But ever since then, I just had a sour taste in my mouth with this particular game. And, you know, losing Bradley Chubb is huge. And it's obvious that this Denver team is not really interested in playing for their new coach, Vic Fangio. I've heard reports that he is going very old school and makes them practice hard, and he doesn't allow music in the locker room. And it just doesn't appear that this team wants to play for him right now. And when right. you add the Bradley Chubb injury to their secondary injuries, Bryce Callahan's been out, and another cornerback, Kareem Jackson, picked up an injury this week. I think that it's stacking up against them. So it's got to be Chargers or pass.
Yeah, agreed. And it should be noted that, you know, Melvin Gordon, who was active, didn't really play. I mean, it was all Austin Eckler last week. We'll see if he gets reinitiated to the offense this week. They don't really need it on offense. It's been the defense that's kind of let them down. But the Chargers were able to cover it at Miami last week. And we'll see what happens against a kind of a subpar Denver team.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say, though, the Denver defensive line has played pretty well, especially stopping the run. They're sixth ranked and stopping the run. So,
except for last week, right? I mean, Fournette ran for 200 yards.
That is an excellent point. Yeah.
So maybe bias. That was after Chubb got hurt. I'm not really sure. But the second half, basically, Marone said, we're just going to pound Fournette. And it worked. I mean, they just killed him down the stretch. I mean,
what do you think the game plan from the Chargers is going to be on that side of the ball?
I personally believe that they're going to try to get up early. You know, maybe try to chuck the ball early to get some points because Denver can't score. Mm-hmm. And then just grind them in at the end. So that's what I would do if I was playing Denver because I just don't think they can score a lot of points. But Anthony Lynn he's probably a solid coach, good guy, but he's not the best game plan guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not loving it. And the other thing is it is a divisional dog here. You know, it's tough to always back those, but I just think Denver might be one of those teams just not very good.
Yeah. And we have had some success fading the teams who have heavy injuries. So
true.
You might be able to talk me into that one.
Okay. We've got Dallas against Green Bay. Dallas we're showing 4.5 point favorites at home. I see it at BetOnline at 3.5. I would like the lower number, of course. I think we're both on Dallas in this one. I think that game at the Saints was kind of a step up in class for Dallas, and maybe that's what got them. I don't think the Saints are the greatest offense, and clearly they held them to 12 points, no touchdowns. Green Bay is going to be a little bit better on offense, and their defense has been okay, but they've suffered some injuries as well, especially if Adams is out. This Dallas defense is elite, and I just kind of see them kind of going nuclear on Green Bay and beating them pretty badly in this kind of, you know, the slate this week only has 2 4 o'clock games. They're trying to make everybody watch this Green Bay Packers-Dallas Cowboys game.
Yeah, and you're right. I think this was the opener at 4.5. I actually laid 3.5 before we jumped on this call this evening. So I am right there with you. I love Dallas in this spot. It's a great bounce back spot for them coming off the tough loss to New Orleans. And when I look at these numbers, that Green Bay rush defense has been horrible this season. 5 yards per rush attempt, and that's 29th ranked in the league. And obviously, Dallas, we know what they want to do, and that's run the ball with Zeke. So I did read that the left tackle, Tyron Smith, for Dallas is questionable with that ankle injury he got rolled up on by Dak late in the game. So they haven't been good when Smith has been out of the lineup historically, but I don't expect that they're going to look to drop back and pass it a lot, especially given the Green Bay pass rush. So I'm hopeful that they'll run Zeke all day, and I agree we should look to lay the 3.5 here.
Okay, we got one.
Maybe we'll get lucky and it'll come out at 3.
Oh, that would be great. Kansas City against your Colts, hosting the Colts, 9.5 points, which you're showing. I'm seeing that as well, I believe.
11.
No, I'm seeing it 11.
Yeah.
It's ticked up. This is probably because the injuries to Mack and Hilton. How much would you be looking to lay in this game? I think Kansas City might destroy your Colts, unfortunately, but 11 is a big number for NFL teams. What can I get you to do on this one?
I would like it at 10. That's my initial reaction. I do agree, though, that this is going to be one side and one side only, and that's Kansas City. Indianapolis is just seeing these injuries mount up. Darius Leonard did not play again. They're also without safety Malik Hooker on the back end, and those are not two injuries you want to have when you're facing off Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Right.
On the flip side, though, I do think that the Colts might have some success running the football. I recall myself saying that in the playoffs last year, and it didn't happen. So right. I know it's hard to do, and Kansas City has certainly been a juggernaut this season, But what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think that Indianapolis can overcome some of these injuries?
I'm not saying they can't. I think that the Colts are a game script team. I don't think the Colts can score 24 points in a game. Mm-hmm. And especially with these injuries, they've shown that they can win these tight games, these 18 to 16 games, these 21-17 type games. When it gets to be not a shootout, but they just couldn't even come back against the Raiders. The Raiders put up all these points on them somehow. And then they, even though Brissett had a pretty solid game himself, they just can't score in bunches. And they've got to control the clock, shorten the game, run the football. It'd be great if they had Mack, but if they don't, what do you have, Jordan Wilkins or Nyheim Hines? If they give up a couple big plays early, it's all she wrote, you know? So yeah. That's kind of where the way I see it, 11 being a tough number over a key number of 10 is tough. But I can kind of see, you know, the Chiefs didn't play great last week. They actually should have lost the game.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to probably come in super focused and try to get right away. And I can see them scoring 21 points in the first half and the Chiefs being down 21-7 at half. And even though that I'm showing the Chiefs as being like 30th in yards against, which is, you know, it's terrible. But I just think that they're going to just get outscored in this one. So it's just a matter of what number we're okay on. If we had that 9.5, I would jump all over it. 11's a tougher one to stomach. But
I was reading that it looks like Marlon Mack looks like he may play this week, or at least that was Reich's sentiments. So will be something to look at. But I agree, on the flip side, you've got this Indianapolis defense, which has been very subpar this year. They're giving up 6.2 yards per play, and mm-hmm. you've got the number one offense coming in. They're averaging 7.4 yards per play. So that is recipe for disaster, and I think that I agree. It's either Kansas City or pass.
The last game we've got on the slate is San Francisco, who is hosting Cleveland. I see it. You've got it at 4. I see it at 3.5, where San Francisco's favorite at home. Kind of an interesting spot. The Browns are starting to heat up. Baker Mayfield's playing better. They really impressed me with that win at the Ravens. The 49ers have, you know, had the bye week. They're sitting home. They could probably get a game plan together. But I think the Browns are a little bit of step up in class for San Francisco than their first 3 weeks of opponents. So I kind of it's a stay away or take Cleveland in this one for me. I don't love – even though San Francisco's 2 in the index, I'm a little bit worried about them. And the Browns, as bad as they've kind of been early in the season, they seem to be starting to find their legs, especially on offense. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It's either Cleveland or pass for me, too. I think that win over Baltimore really probably gave them some serious momentum. They're now in the lead for the division when you look at tiebreakers. So I do think that they're going to carry some momentum. And on the flip side, you've got San Francisco coming off the bye week. So I think the bye this early in the season is only going to be harmful to San Francisco. So I may want to dig into the numbers a little bit and the matchups in this one, but I do think it's going to be Cleveland. I would probably lean more towards the pass, though, personally.
Right. And we've got to pick a couple games. I mean, we kind of consensus. We got Dallas at some point, and we've got Jacksonville. So we're going to have to figure out whether that, you know, the other picks, you know, whether it's, you know, Minnesota or New England or obviously Buffalo, depending on the number. So we'll see where we get. We'll come back around on Saturday and send the info to the light rain from Champaign to put in our picks. Actually, we can thank my sister. She actually technically put in the picks. We can't publicize that, but
nice.
She used the app. Apparently, the light rain from Champaign called in to Dr. Weggs to help her out.
He called in sick on the proxy Saturday.
That's right. He called that proxy because he was out at Area 51 making sure he was protecting our alien border or whatever they were doing up there. So, last shout out I want to say is it's October 1st. That means it's Artemis Prime's birthday today. I forgot to do it at the top of the show. So it's Artemis Prime's birthday, our resident horse racing handicapper who never gets on the show.
Yeah, maybe he'll come on one day. Happy birthday to Art.
That's right. Happy birthday, Art. So, well, that wraps up our episode, episode 45, the Side Action Podcast. Thanks for following us and send us some questions. Let us know how you're doing. Hopefully you're following our picks in the Circa and winning some money at the 57% clip or better. I'm Jim Weglars. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
And I'm Steve Roberts. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend.
Yeah, let's kick off this second quarter with a 5-0 Wegs.
Oh, man, let's go right to the top. And I want to cash some of that $143,000, man.
Yeah, we got to start making travel plans for the second quarter party with Derek Stevens and Mike Palm at the D.
At the Long Bar, that's right. And apparently the duffel bag better is a regular at the Long Bar. I heard that Jimmy Vaccaro does not want him at the South Point. He sends him over to the Long Bar.
So. He kicked him out, huh?
That's right. He's got to take a shower. That's what he said today on the visa. All right.
All right. Good luck, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.